Exchange of your life. Oh my brother, oh my sister, are you a sinner? Are you a fornicator? A liar? Why don't you desist from all this? He said, come unto me and he will receive you. Jesus is calling you today. He's coming very soon. Are you a musician? A pastor, an evangelist, among the fivefold ministry, what are you doing with those gifts? What are you going to give in exchange? Remember, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death is judgment. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world, and at the end of the day, you end up in hell? Oh my brother, oh my sister, what will you give in exchange? Brothers, sisters,
hallelujah. Matthew chapter 11. Because this question
question is leading me. Praise the Lord. Is this question, no? I just saw this question this morning as I came in. Because the brothers sent me a text, saw me on Friday to remind me if I saw it, because it dropped it there on Tuesday. And I told him I hadn't seen it until this morning, before the coordinator checked the suggestion box and brought it out. And that leads me, what he asked, is leading me to say one or two things before we close. That's why I said it will be very few minutes. When we talk about Christianity, your Christian faith, I have always stressed this. Your Christian faith is determined by the kind of experience you have had with Christ. Praise God. Your estate in your Christianity, the determinant, the determining factor that determines the type of faith you will have, is determined by the kind of experience you've had with Christ. The truth is, many of us coming to Christ, we are just religious people. It's just religion. Why do I say religion? So many of you are Christians today, for instance, because you were born in a Christian family. Your father and mother was going to church. That is why, till today, you are a Christian. That means, if your father and mother were Muslims, today you will be a Muslim. If your father and mother were going to Lumba Lumba, today you will have been going to Humble Street, Calabar. It's true. You see? And if your father and mother were Babalawo, worshipping water spirits, you will have been a chief priest there by now. So, now you are a Christian. The only reason you are a Christian is because my papa and my mama are Muslims and Christians. And of course, I'm also aware, even in going to church, the choice of church you go to is also determined by several factors. It is either a personal revelation you have, or you are constrained to go because of prevailing circumstance. It's true. I'm living with you now, so you are going to Catholic church. Okay, let me even use Bride Assembly. You are going to Bride Assembly. If I don't follow you to Bride Assembly, you may drag me from your house, and I don't have any alternative place to go. So, when it's Sunday, I'll follow you to go Bride Assembly. Now, you tell that one and say he's your member. When he's coming out, you say he's your member. You see? Or a father and mother are coming to Bride Assembly. If I don't follow him, he will not pay my school fees. Make I follow this old man. All this, the only they do. Make me don't finish my school. You know where I did. So, but now, generally now, you are a Christian simply because you are religious. You must belong to one religion or the other. When you are feeling form, which one will I feel? Religion. Christian. I'm Christian. So anywhere you go, you are a Christian. You have Bible. Church, if that is all that you hold on to for your Christianity, you are more than a miserable human being on earth. That type of faith will never stand in the storm of life. We never stand in the storm. Never. And that is why some of us behave and look so miserably, because there is no anchor. The only thing that gives you anchor, remember, we are worshiping a God we cannot see. And yet you have to believe him. So for you to believe him, there must be something, an experience you have received, that makes you to be sure this thing about Christianity is not story, it's real. That makes you ready to die for what you stand for. That makes you ready to go hungry for what you stand for. That makes you ready to take any reproach, any insult, under any situation for what you stand for. That makes you say, it is for better, it is for worse. There must be something. That thing is what Christ said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. The popular verse, we always read it. It says, verse 28. He said, come, hallelujah, hallelujah, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. When you say give your life to Christ, you come. Come, and I will give you rest. There are two things involved. There is the coming and there is the giving. And this coming is not a journey of the leg. You jump up and say, I am going to Christ. It's not with leg. Where is it with? It's from the heart. It's a journey that is from the heart. And when you make that decision from your heart to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are coming for an experience. Therefore, you come with expectation. You are coming with expectation. And please, the experience I'm talking about is not that when I come, then I will prosper. That is not the experience. That I get a business breakthrough today. I pray. I go to, I went to Guru Maharaj. Nothing happened. I went to Saleh. Nothing happened. I went to this one. Nothing happened. Then, when I came to bride, one prayer, bah! And I prospered. Now, that type of experience that you have will only make you change church. Do you understand what I'm saying? That type of experience will only make you change church. That type of experience can never make you take a stand until you are ready to die for that Jesus that prospered you. No. Because shortly after that, devil can still attack you. You can come back to square one again. And you will pray. Nothing will happen. Then you will leave again. All you will leave is, you will hear testimony. They say, somewhere now for a koto, if the man just do hand like this, you will prosper. You go there, the man do hand like this, you prosper. You will live right now. See where the thing that happen now, eh, bar no. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Judas was following Jesus Christ, but he was following him with the leg, not the heart. It was 70 disciples. We are following him. They were not following him with the heart. They were following them with the leg. They were jumping from crusade to crusade, pursuing Jesus Christ. Why? Because every crusade they go, there will be abracadabra there. He will turn food. They will eat that day. They will eat tire. They will eat free food. Free. Have you not seen some churches that they entice people with cooking food for the members to eat after service? Yes, now. So which type of people will be going there? The day that food stop, they will change church. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As long as anytime they have problem, the pastor will take care of them. As long as they have problem, the whole members will run, gather money and give them. They say, oh, that's a wonderful church. That church, there's love. They're my brethren. The day they refuse to help him, the testimony will change. He will change his church. He will change our church. So that is not the kind of experience I'm talking about. First is an invitation. To who? Hallelujah. Two groups of people. Number one, those who labor and heavy laden. Laboring in one sense. He's not laborer for construction site. It's not laborer for a gardener anywhere. You are laboring under the bondage of the enemy, facing frustrations of life. Nothing is working for you. No peace in your life. Heavy laden. Laden with what? Laden with your sin nature. Sin nature. And it's a sin that has kept you laboring for the taskmaster, the devil. It's sin. If there was no sin in the Garden of Eden, will Adam be running away from the snake? Will Adam be running away from monkey? There are some monkeys, the way you see them, they look like human beings, you will run. Man will see lion and run away. This group of people, hallelujah. And in John chapter 7, if you read it from verse 37, read it up to verse 39. Talk about those who are thirsty. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Thirsty of what? Thirsty of some reality of life. Every true child of God. Every true child of God. Hallelujah. There is a void inside of you that needs to be satisfied. Every true child of God, Brother Abraham calls it a representation. It's something that God has purposely placed inside of all his foredained church of the true God. The knowledge of the reality of this God I cannot see. I can't see him, but I know he lives. And you want to live a life pleasing before him. You want to know him. That test is there. That is what makes so many of us to move from church to church, from place to place. I've had some of you who have come to me sharing your testimony with me when I ask you. I went here. I said, why were you leaving church to church? He said, there's something I was looking, I could not be satisfied. That is the test. And then God will lead you to a place of worship. We are that thing you are looking for. You see it there. Then rest will come upon you. He said, come to me. Hallelujah. All ye that are heavy laden, that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That rest is the experience I'm talking about. There's something that Christ will do to you that will remove you from that labor and give you rest. Remove all the heavy load on you and give you a rest. That rest there is rest of mind. Rest from struggling to serve God. It's an experience. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The psalmist in Psalm 34 verse 8, he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Test and see. Test there. It's not T-E-S-T to test something. To test. Amen. Not test. Try something. No. Test is using your feeling to know whether something is sweet or bitter. You have to test it. You test it with your mouth. You test it. Then you can say, oh, this thing is sweet. Oh, this thing is bitter. And the psalmist, for him to do that, he has had an experience. That's why he said, test and see that the Lord is good. Because, hallelujah, hallelujah. You want to know about the sun. Amen. You want to know about the sun. You want to know about the sun. Amen. You know about the sun more by feeling it than by reading about it. There are some things that we know about it only from what we have read in books. All you know about God is only what you have read in the Bible. No. What you read, amen, the kind of experience you have is different from when you now meet God now in a different way. Knowing God from reading is different from knowing God from a personal experience. Something that anchors you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's true now. Eh? We have armed robbers that visit people at home. You have armed robbers, snatch cars, or what do you call it, one chance. Eh? You hear people say, when I enter motor, God saved me. One chance. They collected all this. When you're just hearing it, fear will catch you quite all right. You'll be praying, if what this man say, make another experience, Amo. Eh? But the type of fear you have is certainly different from the type of fear the person that has gone through it will have. And that is why, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is why, if two of you, one has had the experience before of entering a bus, but he jammed one chance, you never have that experience. If you stand at bus stop, amen. Any bus that stop, you will just jump, enter inside. Ojolegba, 20 naira. From here to Ojolegba now, 100 naira now. I did 20 naira. Say, this is cheap. Oh, Jehovah Jireh. You will enter inside. But that man that has had the experience, Ojolegba, 20 naira, you will say, idiot, they don't come. Even if it's not so, every bus he enter, knowing how he has experienced it, if he open the bus to enter, he will look. He will look. Even as he sit down for the next 20 minutes, he didn't do like this. Now there be this, I've been awaiting. That person is more careful because of his experience than this one who only heard of it. You see? And so it is also with Christianity. Some people fear God. Some people don't fear God. Because you have not had any experience that reveal who this God really is. So you can act anyhow. You can act anyhow. But another person, lie. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A young man, 20-something years old, 21 years old then, was telling me that when the Holy Ghost was revealing to him the spirit of fornication, he said he was just sitting down and he started smelling excreta, you know, everywhere. And he was wondering what is happening. He said God opened his eyes and he saw somebody coming with excrement everywhere. All over, I was passing and flies and everything was passing. So he was shouting, "Ty, what is this?" And a voice spoke to him. He said, "That is the spirit of fornication going." He said, "That is the spirit that follows everyone that is a fornicator. It's an unclean spirit." So from that day, it took time before this young man, he's married now, could get a woman. Every woman that come near you, "Hey, I want to throw this spirit to follow me." Amen. But he has been written about fornicators who never inherit the kingdom of God. It didn't have the same impact. And some of you here, all you have known is fornicator will go to hell. Fornicator will go to hell. Then you know that is your weakness. You say, the Bible says he's faithful and just. If I confess, he will forgive me. God is my besetting sin. Forgive me. God, have mercy. A merciful God. God will not let me go to hell. They're going to continue to do and they continue to do. It's because you have not yet known the effect of what you are doing. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is it with Christian faith. Amen. In Acts chapter 19. The first 5 verses there, we know the story. I preached on it the other day. Hallelujah. When Apostle Paul saw people who were behaving like Christians, who were supposed to be Christians, but their action was showing like people who have not yet received the Holy Ghost. And he first asked them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" Because If you have received the Holy Ghost, it will reflect in your lifestyle. It will reflect in your lifestyle. You say you have received the Holy Ghost. And see the way. We know what the Holy Ghost comes, what it will do. We know what that experience will produce. That's the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's true now. This experience that you receive, when you receive Christ, that experience, blessed be the name of the Lord. If it is truly you come to Christ, if it is Christ you have come, and he's the one that draw you to him, church, there will be an experience you will receive that will either make you faithful or you continue to remain doubting. That is the determinant. Somebody says going to church and he has no bingley faith. Bingley faith, faith, faith. Do you know there are some people that when they fall sick, before they remember to pray, they have all gone to doctor, gone to everywhere. They will first pick their phone and call their doctor. Doctor, doctor, this will not start again, no. Then when the doctor say, I have tried my best, so Bill, I said, this is spiritual, they say, hey! Then he will remember to pray. Bingley faith you don't have. At the slightest shaking, you fall. You see? This experience you have with Christ will determine whether you will be a humble and obedient Christian or a haughty and disobedient Christian. And when I say, because any time you meet genuinely with Christ, the first thing it does in a man is it humbles you. Every experience you have with God, it humbles you. It will humble you. Oh, definitely. Definitely. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, now. We have the popular story of Jacob in Genesis 32. In Genesis 32, Jacob, amen, was known for his smartness. We all know now, even the name means 419 supplanter, we know. The name was given to him prophetically because they know who he was. Sharp, even from the womb of their mama, he was ready to cheat the other one. But that is craftiness. Landed him in several problems, several troubles. Until he became a fugitive in his own home because the brother he cheated is now after his life, Esau. He managed to escape. And some people sin. Remember, as you would a man should do to you, do so to others too. He went to Laban, his uncle's house, to hide there. He was serving the man. You know how the man treated him. The man too did him 419. Instead of serving him for 7 years, he made him to serve him for how many years? 14 years. He was paying for his sin. Church, every evil thing you do, you pay for it. He was fed up with life. He needed a solution to it. He was coming back now to face reality. His enemy is waiting for him. Esau knew he was coming. Prepared his men to revenge because what he did was an unpardonable sin to Esau. You know he collected his birthright from him. You know what that means. Esau will not leave him until he takes his life. So he was a fugitive. But one thing is, one day he was sleeping and he heard of, so he was a fugitive. But one thing is, one day he was sleeping and he had opportunity to meet with God. That opportunity for somebody is coming from tomorrow. I said that opportunity is coming from tomorrow. Because I am saying somebody's life history here. You have no peace, no resting place. It's because of the things you have done that is now following you. No peace in your life. But you've decided to come to the Lord. Jacob saw God. The Bible says that he wrestled with him. Don't think that they were playing. They were not playing. I will never let you go unless you bless me. I will never let you go. That was his song all night. He wants to go, he grab him. He wants to go, he grab him. He was desperate. And this is the only opportunity Jacob feels he has. Somebody here, you think that your nature cannot change. God is going to use this program and surprise your enemies in the name of Jesus. Because God will touch you. He's going to touch you, church. He's going to touch you. Amen. For as many have desired for their life to change and be a human being that God has made you. We have lived like animals all these years, far from God and only religious. Now you want to be a child of God. There's a difference between a religious man and a son, a child of God. That person does not depend on going to church to be spiritual. 24 hours is connected to heaven. Why? Because, hallelujah, the God of creation is living in you. Jacob, before you know what is happening, amen. There is a way you trouble God until you will force him to change your life. He must bless you. But I want you to watch. There were two monumental things that happened to Jacob in that experience that he had. Number one, the first thing was he asked Jacob, "What is your name?" Jacob began to confess, "This is who I am." I say, "My name is Jacob." He say, "As you are seeing me so, I be wawa. I be 419. I be cheat. In fact, I cheated my senior brother. In fact, even for Laban, there's something I did that make me be waiting I be now." That is the meaning of Jacob. The first thing he did was he changed his identity. From Jacob to what? Say it now. To what? Israel. What is the meaning of Israel? Prince with God. Amen. From 419 to prince with God. Because God was going to establish a covenant with him. Then you understand, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. Somebody here, your identity will also change in the name of Jesus. Somebody here, all they know you about is fight, 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 fight. Anywhere you go, fight. Anywhere, fight. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Wherever. Now fight, 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 fight. Stubbornness, that's what they know you for. Some of you, anywhere you visit, something must miss. Anytime, if they pass, anywhere they pass through, something must disappear. Stealing spirit. Praise God. Praise the Lord. What's your identity now? Jacob. That's why, throughout, every day you come here, let the Lord know your need. How helpless you are without him. How much you need him. You need him. I need you. I can't serve you on my own. There's something inside of me that I want to worship God. But there's something again that continues to depress me. Apostle Paul called it besetting sin. Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 called it the law of sin working in your members. Things contrary. Contrary. You try your deep inside of you. You want to live a holy life. But you just can't. You will try for like 1 month. You won't go near that beer parlor. But after that 1 month, your body will tell you, just small, just little for your awful stomach infirmity. Little, just little. Just little now. And when you take finish, say, "Hey, I know. I don't fall again. Hey." That is evidence you need him. this week, this song will be relevant. Jesus is passing this way. Ha! Zacchaeus heard that Jesus Christ was passing by. Amen. One experience he had with Jesus Christ visiting his house only. Zacchaeus from, what do you call them? A corrupt government official? Collecting bribery. Amen. He became converted and was ready to even make restitution on his own. One time he jammed with the Lord Jesus Christ and Jesus visited him. Ha! Amen. Abraham also, God visited Abraham one time and even ate bread with him. I mean, what do you call it? Ate goat with him. From that day, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He saw the reality of God because that one visit gave a man and his wife of 90 years old, a baby. That one visit. Something that is impossible. Totally impossible. One visit that God visited Abraham. Church, this week God will visit somebody here. I say God will visit somebody here. Hallelujah. One visit. Amen. What did he produce? It gave him a son in his old age. In his old age. Is there any situation that has been written off in your life? But watch it. My emphasis is not the child that he got. It's the effect of that visit of God to Abraham. Because Abraham so believed God that God tested the faith. He told him, that one child you had, take him and go and sacrifice him to me. Go and kill him. Abraham did not doubt. The Bible says, why did he not doubt? Praise the Lord. Why did he not doubt? He believed God, that God who was able, can we read it in Hebrew? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's open it. Hallelujah. Chapter 11. I love that testimony there. It's very encouraging to every sincere Christian. Amen. Now, Hebrew chapter 11, if you are there. Now, I'll read it. Amen. From verse 17. See the testimony here. It says, by faith, revelation. Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Which promise did Abraham receive? That in his seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed, and that he will make him a father of many nations. And the only begotten he has now, through whom the promise will come to pass. That same God is telling, go and offer him for sacrifice to me. Verse 18. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 19 is the answer. Why did he offer that child? Accounting, that is believing, that God was able to raise him up. Even from the dead. From whence also he received him in a figure. That is, Abraham knew. From a dead womb, Isaac was produced. If God said, go and sacrifice him, this same God that has power for a 90-year-old woman to produce a child, this same God can raise him up again from the dead. Hallelujah. Why? It was an experience that drove him to that faith. A genuine experience with God made Abraham never to limit God for anything. And so he was ready to obey, even to sacrifice his only begotten son. Why? He believed. If God said do it, it means he has something else better, higher he wants to do. But how many people here, how many people here can believe God for so much to that level? And so I was talking about Jacob the same way. Jacob, number one, his identity was changed. Number two, that is his name, was changed from Jacob to Israel. Amen. Yes, from Jacob to Israel. And then secondly, before the angel will go, I hope you know that angel was God himself. I hope you know it was God himself. Praise the Lord. In angelic form. Before he went, finally now, he broke the bone of his thigh. Why will God that loves somebody so much change his identity, change his name, bless him? But in blessing him again, he broke his thigh bone. Why? Amen. That was to humble that young man, Jacob. Humble him in such a way and leave a mark that we will continually remember the day he met with God. Each time he's going, somebody was so proud of himself before, upright, healthy, jumping up and down. All of a sudden, if you want to stand up now, you have to be careful. Now he started walking, now limping. Now he started walking, limping. Amen. And some of us here have nothing to show as evidence that you have met with God. What have you lost because you have given your life to Christ? What do you have to show? Apostle Paul said, "From henceforth, let no man trouble himself, for I bear on me the mark of Christ." The mark of Christ is not a cross you hang. Some people hang a cross and say that is the mark of Christ. It's not the mark of Christ, though. The mark of Christ is suffering for Christ's sake. All he had, he counted them as dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. You see? And these stories are there for you and I to see something about this God we are worshiping, because we are coming to the same God. He does not change his principles. It's the same principle every day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jacob's thigh was broken. The way he used to walk changed. But today, you are coming to see Christians who don't want their former identity changed. You just want to add Jesus to your old identity. It must affect the way you dress. It must affect the way you talk. It affects some places you can't go there anymore. It gives you certain limitations. There are things you cannot do for Christ's sake. From the day you meet with him, there must be something you will hold on to. Church, if you have not, if you don't have such a testimony, you have not yet started your Christian journey. Now, I'm not threatening you. Every one of us will surely have those stories to tell. Definitely. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't compare yourself, because everybody will go his own way. And then, once that is done, the Bible says, if a man's way pleases the Lord, he maketh him to be at peace. You know the story that after he met with the Lord, when he woke up, you know what happened later? The enemy that was looking for him to kill him suddenly began to make peace with him. Amen. All those witches tormenting you, all those landlords giving you quit notice for nothing, all those who are disturbing your office for nothing, all those enemies around you disturbing you, sometimes you think it's for nothing. Sometimes it's not for nothing. You are paying for something. Every time in the office, you are very proud. Every time you are this, you are that. Amen. After this week we are entering, hallelujah, after this week we are entering, all your enemies will come and make peace with you in the name of Jesus. Witches will come before you and begin to confess. They will bring your picture that they have kept in a shrine. That is why I say, I bet, take back your glory. Somebody here. Why? The man's way pleases the Lord. The emphasis is in you pleasing the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We have Isaiah. Isaiah also was serving God in Israel. Faithfully the way he could. But one day, God opened his eyes to see the throne of God. He saw those angels with wings and cherubims with wings. He saw the glory of God in Isaiah chapter 6. Praise the Lord. And the first thing Isaiah saw, after he saw the glory of God, what did he say? He shouted, "Oh, I am done, for I am a man of unclean lips." Every true experience you meet with God, the first thing it does, it makes you take an inward look at yourself. Isaiah saw his deficiency, saw his weakness. Such a person will no longer be proud. You will soon discover that you as a human being, you are nothing. You will soon discover that without God, you are nothing. You are who you are today by his grace. All the money you have is by his grace. All the beauty you have is by his grace. It's through all the clothes you have is by his grace. The men that are chasing you up and down, you are selecting, is by his grace. Because there is another woman that is more beautiful than you. Nobody they come meet her. You see? Then all of a sudden, your life begins to be more meaningful to you. Then, you begin to sing a song like the song our choir sang. What will you give? What will you give? What will you give in exchange for your soul? Oh, if today God should call it away, what will you give in exchange for your soul? Then life begins to be more meaningful. It's true now. Sister, you are young now. You are fine. Has it ever occurred to you that it's just a matter of time? Age will come very soon. All that beauty will fade away. It's true. The life of a woman is like the life of the rising sun. Amen. In a certain age, you are the sun just coming out fresh in the morning. When it's 12 o'clock, that is when you are 18, 19, 20, 21. Oh! So pretty, because every part of you is fully matured. All the beauty comes up. Bam. And that is the time you think you are something. That is the time you want to look like those television stars. That is the time you want to go for beauty contest, because you want the whole world to see how beautiful you are. That is the time you want to dress and show your nakedness, so that they will really see that you are a pretty girl. But this thing, it expires. It expires. It expires. The sun is so bright now. It is the middle of the day. By the time it's getting to 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, the sun is going down. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a poet that wrote that when a woman is from 60 years old, is it 50 or 60 years old, says she's like Siberia. Everybody knows about Siberia, but nobody wants to go there. Amen. And so this is the time you begin to think, it's true. What if I die now? Where will I be? People joke with the eternal destination. What if I die now? What if I die? Have you ever asked yourself this question, brother, sister? Do you know that when we say untimely death, untimely death, we are saying untimely by the enemy, but God has the time for every one of us to die. God has the time. God, through children of God, they die. Born again Christians, they die. Wicked people, they die. Now, so anytime you see obituary in the paper, or your brother die, or your age mate die, I sat down, I was looking at my mates from school. How many have died? I was looking at members of my family with my wife. We are counting since they are married. We got our married 1986. From 1986, she was counting all the members of my family that died one after the other, one after the other. And she was saying, ah! He said, ground, don't swallow people for your house. Oh, it's true now. There are so many. So many. And if they go, what makes me think I will not go too? But how you go, where you are going, is what we are concerned. It's what we are preparing this life for. As you enjoy your life on earth, prepare. There is life beyond this place. It's true. It's life beyond this place. That is what Christianity is all about. It's preparation for the life after now. It's a preparation for the life after now. And the only ones that have any hope for a good life after now are born again Christians. And that is Christians who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the experience. The experience is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Something that happens and gets you connected to heaven. Connected to the source of life. Then you can say, I have eternal life. Anyone that has eternal life, has the life of God, you have eternal life, you will live eternally. He said, my Father's house, there are many mansions there. I go to prepare a place for you. So that where I am and where Jesus Christ is a glorious place. I want to be where he is. Praise the Lord. And he's preparing us now. Join him by experience. And when you have that experience, you ask less questions about the commandments of God. Anything for righteousness, you do it gladly. Less questions about the commandments of God. Anything for righteousness, you do it gladly. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Christianity can be costly, very, very costly. But the experience you have undergone, the experience you have with God, is what keeps you anchored. It comforts you. It gives you an assurance that gives you comfort no matter what you are going through now. You see? So it's so important. Your Christian faith starts from that experience. What it gives you, the rest is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do everything you can and be part of it. I say this confidently. Before they go to the promised land. Hallelujah. God told Moses to send some spies to go and see it so that they will bring the report. Amen. I cannot talk about the Holy Ghost if I have not experienced it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Joshua too, before entering Jericho, he sent some spies to go and see how it is. So that when they come, they can make the people have faith that this thing is real. Remember, I used to tell people, I said, it's not every pastor that can organize baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not under every pastor you can receive the Holy Ghost. It's not every pastor. And some intermessage pastors that is just grammar. They would describe the Holy Ghost. This is how it is. It is academics. They are describing what they read in a book or they read in a Bible. But the Holy Ghost is practical. It's practical. It's practical. Don't let anybody give you an academic definition of the Holy Ghost and tell you, you see, believe, you see, you have it. If you don't have it, you won't come to a church like this. Devil come to church like this. Witches come to church like this. That you come here is not the evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost. And don't say, you see, I know they steal, I'm not a thief. I'm not a fornicate. I'm not. Hey! That is by your effort. You must also be able to come at a point in your Christian life where you can look at yourself and say, Moses, may you be this? Something has happened. If not, it's self-righteousness. You are struggling. And it will not last. That's why the Bible calls it filthy rag. Because some situations will come and shake that your faith. You will know that you are not born again. Nothing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when Satan targets you, he knows how to get everybody. He can plan for you for 20 years. He can plan for you because I read in a website, a popular church in this end time message. The pastor pasted a letter that he wrote in 1991 when he first saw this end time message. He was in the church of Yahweh, pastoring that church before. He saw that and came into this faith. And he heard the pastor of that church speaking against the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And he wrote him a letter. He pasted it in the website. I saw the letter. After he met the pastor personally to say, I hear you speak about against the gift and things like that. And proved scripturally in a serious episode, proving scripturally that a church is not complete without the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what establishes you. Your faith. But that same pastor, 1990, he wrote that letter. Now, he's pastoring a church now. And it is a church full of grammar. He said, don't say that. I said, shut up. Why? He has described, if it is the Holy Ghost, this is the way the Holy Ghost will act. In the Acts of Apostles, if you fall under anointing, if it is the Holy Ghost that make you fall under anointing, you fall forward. You don't fall backward. You see, and he doesn't know the devil has finished it, completed, concluded. And if you fall down, violently under anointing, you are possessed. Take it. You see, that's what I'm saying. Because he himself has not yet had his own experience. But I have an experience, church. Like Joshua and Caleb. I have discovered that this Holy Ghost is real. It can change a sinner to a saint. I am the evidence. I know who I am and who I was. Written off. Totally written off. That my wife still remain with me as an unbeliever is still a miracle today. Because I was so useless. When a man has his wife at home and is keeping girlfriends, not even girlfriend, girlfriends. So that they go to the phone, they tell and say, no, be only you get that man who. May release and may come out. Some of it happens. And when the woman say, call, I'll say, you don't know how many wives my papa married. The only one I don't marry yet now, some are coming now, so that the thing will pain them the more. Was that a human being? You see? So I was once an animal. Some of you are looking at me now as if your own, not past my own. That is it. I'm telling you, that's the truth. If God can change me and even make me a preacher, he can change anybody here. Can change anybody here. Those who know me, they still don't believe that I am now a pastor. They can't believe it. Can't believe it. I was sharing with my brother in the office. I say, every Friday in the Air Force Base, I was in charge of their disco. Very dedicated. I was the entertainment officer. You hold that office for only 1 year. It's a committee. It's by election. All the officers in Lagos, they will elect certain offices there. For the entertainment member, every year for 4 years, when I was posted to Lagos, I was there. I was nominated and elected. The next year, everybody said unopposed. Let him return him. The second year again, unopposed, return him. 4 years, I was the oldest one there. Why? I started organizing disco for them once in a month. They were enjoying it. They say, they come and make me say, Alu, why don't you do it like twice in a month? We decided to do it twice in a month. It was too interesting. They say, why not do it every week? Dancing for who? For devil. Devil. Every nightclub in Lagos knew me. From Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we are in the nightclub. My wife is here now. She'll be here. You go and find out. That's why. When one sister stood up and said she wants to marry a man like me, I say, hey. You only know me when for pulpit. If you want to know who I am, go and meet my wife first. Praise the Lord. Pray. If you know me at that time, you will never like me to be your husband. Amen. Every Friday, I gave my life to Christ. I said every Friday, I was going to dance for devil nightclubs. And when God gave me the opportunity to be a pastor, I say, the church, every Friday will be night vigil. We'll be dancing for Jesus. We'll be dancing for Jesus. That's the only thing that will give me peace. That's my only way of revenging for